May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, we celebrate the second Sunday after the Epiphany. And the wine failing, the mother of Jesus saith to him, "They have no wine." Today, in this mystery, we could talk about many things. Many commentators today, throughout time, have spoken about the elevation of marriage to a sacrament in this mystery today, or also we could talk about the transformation of the body and of the bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. But we would like to concentrate this discourse on Mary, our mother, and her words. Last week, we also saw the manifestation of the light. Jesus Christ, our Savior, with the visit of the three kings and with his baptism in the River Jordan. Today we have the final and third part of his revelation as God in the Gospel of St. John with the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee to his disciples who believed in him. This is what we call the watershed moment when Jesus moves from his hidden life to start his ministry of miracles. This is a chapter of glory, blooming with the stupendous miracle that sparks the faith of his disciples in him. Jesus Christ, having been invited, went with his Holy Mother to the marriage of Cana in Galilee. The wine failing, Mary said to her divine son, "They have no wine." By these words, she intended to ask her son to console the spouses who were afflicted because the wine had failed. Jesus answered, "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." They have no wine. It is the office then of the Mother of God to tell him of the wants of men, for she is also their mother. But we notice that Jesus Christ answers her in the words which are apparently harsh. "Woman, what is it to me and to thee? My hour is not yet come." The better translation, however, of these words would be, however, "Why do you ask me that?" Mary at once understands the words of her son, and she says to the waiters of the feast, what she is now ever saying to her children, to myself and yourselves in these days, "Do whatever he shall say to you." This answer of Christ was not intended as a reproach, as many say today. Now many in this approach to strip out the mystery in the scripture deny the mystery. But here we have a great mystery, for the most prudent queen had not asked for a miracle by mere accident, but by divine light. She knew that the opportune time for the manifestation of the divine power of her son was at hand. She, Mary, our mother, who was full of wisdom and knowledge concerning the works of the redemption, and was well informed at what time and on what occasions the Lord was to perform them. Therefore, she could not be ignorant of the proper moment of the beginning of this public manifestation of Christ's power. It must also be remembered that Jesus did not pronounce these words with any signs of disapproval, but with a quiet and loving majesty. What a sublime mystery then we have in the responses of Mary in her life. She gives her fiat, "Thy will be done according to God's will," or her yes to the angel Gabriel to accept God's plan of redemption at the Annunciation. She also repeats this yes at the foot of the cross to become the mediatrix of all graces flowing to us. And here at Cana in Galilee, with her words, she marks the watershed for the ministry and the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ. This request of our mother was not natural or spontaneous, but 30 years in preparation, a lifetime of silence. This was also the case in the witness we remember of Saint Maximilian Kolbe at Auschwitz, when he stepped forward on that famous day in August 1941 in the Nazi concentration camp to take the place of someone who would be executed when a prisoner had escaped. This was not a spontaneous act of the will, but his whole life of consuming love for Jesus through the Immaculate gave him a grace to correspond with such a step of martyrdom. We must all be ready then to pursue this life of Christian perfection and grow in holiness and virtues. So many today, though, do not follow this instruction of the Blessed Virgin Mary, do whatever he tells you. They are absorbed in a world of noise and sin. We must be silent in front of the mystery of Christ. This is what we spoke about yesterday in the homily, that the devil tries to create confusion and noise, whereas we must be people of reflection and silence. On each Thursday in Gosport in this church, we go out onto the high street to try to invite the passers-by in to come and light a candle and make a prayer. Just as we saw at the foot of the cross when the only male representative was Saint John, the evangelist, most visitors who come in are female. It is also noticeable that this Irish-English Caucasian between about 40 and 80 years of age will avoid any form of contact or sometimes even a smile. We have much work to do for their conversions. We explain to them often about the intelligent design in the world, if we can look at all of the things around us in the universe, the creation, the sky, the sun, the stars, the planets. We can also delve down into the small things in life, the micro things, especially nowadays with the scientific discoveries. We can strip down and look at what we call our DNA strands, which are incredible. How can these all be created by chance? Many people deny these arguments on the street. We also can make a reasoned argument without bringing God into the equation if we consider the discourse by a 17th century French scientist called Pascal. This is called, if you want to investigate this, this is called the Pascal Wager. He says, if you don't believe in God and there is no God, then you lose nothing at the end of your life. If you believe in God and there is no God, also you lose nothing. If you, however, believe in God and he exists, you gain everything, being eternal bliss. This is what we want to follow, this maxim. But the last maxim is the most devastating. Tragically, if you don't believe in God and he exists, you stand to lose everything, eternity, and end up with eternal damnation. Can you take this chance, we say to those on the street, but still they do not believe in the hardness of their hearts and continue down the Gosport High Street in the wrong direction in life without Jesus Christ. I understand these personally. For 25 years, I was one of them, living in darkness. We all need a wake-up call, a wake-up call. Do whatever he tells you, our mother says. How many times around the world in the centuries has Our Lady appeared in apparitions and made this same plea, and yet how many times have we ignored this message? Are we now to suffer the consequences of this rejection of God's will in the deluge of sin we are living in now? What about all the private revelations about this so-called warning? This is something I would not normally speak about, private revelation, but we have saints and blesseds and servant of gods talking about this. This is an act of mercy called a warning to save a vast number of souls. Just to mention, we are not bound to believe these private revelations, but they can help us in our faith. There is a grace, they say, coming to the whole world in what may be the most singularly astonishing event since Pentecost. Mystic and stigmatist Blessed Anna Maria Taigi, who was revered by popes for the accuracy of her prophecies, referred to this as an illumination of conscience. This was startling for me. I read this week. One of the greatest saints in this country, one of the greatest Jesuit saints through the Reformation, was somebody called Saint Edmund Campion, and he was the first to mention of this warning. He said he regarded it, this illumination, as a day of change when the terrible judge should reveal all men's consciences. Servant of God Maria Esperanza called it a great day of light when the consciences of all will be shaken, the hour of decision for mankind. Others will call it also a mini judgment. Most important of all, in the messages given to Saint Faustina in the Divine Mercy, the Secretary of Mercy, Saint Faustina, who proclaimed to the world that we are living in a prolonged time of mercy based on revelations given her by Jesus, may have witnessed in a vision this actual event. Before I come as the just judge, our Lord said, I am coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to people a sign in the heavens of this sort. All light in the heavens will be extinguished, and there will be a great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the openings where the hands and the feet of the Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. These revelations tell us that the world will be suspended for around 15 minutes when everybody will find themselves before God, and they will see their own sins and the consequences of their sins as God sees them. The just will be strengthened in their faith. Many will repent and seek the truth. Many will not repent, and some will die immediately at the sight of their own iniquity. This is the illumination of conscience. Just to keep you informed, let us pray then for this mini judgment or purification, where God will bring back many into the fold of the Catholic Church, because this would be a great work of mercy on behalf of our Lord, where they say that the churches will be flocking with people waiting for confession and baptism. Returning then, in conclusion, to the miracle at the wedding feast at Cana, what about the power of our Blessed Mother and her tenderness? So great is Mary's merit in the eyes of God that, according to the great Franciscan doctor, Saint Bonaventure, her prayers are infallibly heard. He says, the merit of Mary is so great before God that her petition cannot be rejected. But why are the prayers of Mary so powerful in the sight of God? Simply put, the prayers of Mary are the prayers of a mother, our mother, and therefore, according to the holy doctor, they are regarded in a certain manner as commands by her son, who loves her so tenderly. It is then impossible that the prayers of Mary should be rejected. Her intercession, the intercession of Mary, is all powerful. Jesus Christ, who is all powerful, has made Mary omnipotent as far as a creature is capable of omnipotence in obtaining from him, her divine son, whatever she asks. The great Saint Bridget, the mystic, heard our Saviour one day addressing the Virgin in the following words: "Ask for me whatever you wish, for your petition cannot be fruitless. My mother, ask of me what you please. I cannot reject any prayer that you present to me." Now, this is very illuminating. She says, "Because since you refuse me nothing on earth, I will refuse you nothing in heaven. If you then have recourse to the Virgin with the determination to amend your lives, she will save you by her intercession. If we wish to recover lost grace, let us seek Mary, by whom this grace has been found. Let us be silent in this world of noise and listen in the heart of Mary to what our Lord wants us to do. Let us then always stay close to Mary and ask her for a daily miracle, not at Cana, but in our hearts, so that one day we may attend the eternal marriage banquet in heaven and be with Jesus, our Saviour, and the Blessed Virgin Mary forever and ever. Amen. May the holy names of Jesus and Mary be blessed now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.